I might use one of these glasses here in a couple of minutes. It's a privilege for me and Annette to be here today and share some time with you around the Word of God and also be in the house of the Lord here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. I said this morning that it was a home for us for while we were going to Bible college and a year after Bible college before the Lord said, I've had enough of you around here, you better get over there somewhere else. And as you know, we were over in Romania for 17 years. Thank you for your prayers for us. I want to share a bit of scripture with you this morning. This is going to be a short message. Okay. This will be a short message. I can see the clock from here. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 5 to 15. Now, I don't know what you normally do, but over in Romania, we got used to standing when we read the Word of God. That was to give honor unto the Word of God, not to me, but to honor the Word of God. So if you do that with for me tonight, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if the house be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's pray. O Lord, we come before you tonight. Lord, we are needy people. And we want to be about your business. Oh Lord, challenge us to not be with me. Give me the words to speak and clarity of speech and of thought, Lord. And just bless your word, Lord. And this I ask in the Lord Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. A few years ago, I got a message from Australia. A church sent me a message and said, Brother Billy, could you give us a God moment that you've had in your life in the last few months? And I wasn't sure on what this God moment was. So I wrote back to the church. I won't name the church. And I wrote back, and something that encourages me along life's journey is when I see the young man that I've invested my life into, when I see them leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I see them opening the Word and sharing the Scripture and pouring their lives into other people and people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I call that the God moment, whether that answered the question or not, but I thought it was relevant, okay? Up until this moment, the disciples, the learners, okay? In Romanian, we have the word ucenic, okay? Ucenic goes along the path of being an apprentice, okay? So I want you to think a disciple, a learner. I'll give you a new word tonight, ucenic, if you can remember that, okay? And we see here he's sending out the 12, and 11 of them finished the course. One didn't graduate. He got hung up on something, and he didn't graduate the course. He didn't finish the course because he had his own ideas. But here we see the learners, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, are undergoing a training program. They've been training in this program for 2 years, an on foot or on the move Bible college, so to speak, and they are being prepared for future ministry. They are learning to live for Him, and in the future, most of them will die for Him willingly. Amen. Because they know the truth, and He has set them free, and they believe in Him. I'm going to call this portion tonight the baton change. Okay? And every Christian must realize and needs to come to the reality that when he or she was saved, you received the baton. Okay? I received my baton in 1975, in July 1975, at a camp, youth camp. Just outside Belfast in Northern Ireland. But I received that baton. And if you're here saved tonight, you received the baton also. Okay? And we need to come to the reality of this. We're not here for a game. I don't want you to go through the motions. Maybe I'm being direct. Okay, Pastor will sort out everything later. But sometimes we need a shake-up, don't we? We need to be direct, that we must be about the Father's business. We must be busy for the Lord. We're not here for a rest. We're not here for comfort. I was reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, about the rapture of the church, okay? And it says, Paul says, comfort you one another with these words, okay? He didn't say get comfortable, okay? He said, comfort one another with these words. He said, but we're not here to be comfortable. We'll be comfortable later on, but here, we are here, in fact, to use that baton that's been handed into our hands. On the day you were saved, you received that baton, and you are to run the race. You are to run the race, and you're also to be involved as a trainer for others. Now you might say, hey, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, and give me a million and one excuses. But you're part of a race, and you're part of the training. It tells us in the scriptures that the older women are to train the younger women. Older men are to train the younger men. And in fact, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read a few verses. I'll read verses 11 through to 13. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, a lot of people, when they read the scripture, they say, okay, He gave apostles, He gave prophets, He gave evangelists, He gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Don't be worried, you will never be perfect, okay? But that's not what it means here. It means to be complete, to be matured, to be ready to be used of God. When we come to church, it's a training program. You might not have realized that, but when you come to church on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, when you come on a Sunday morning, when you come on a Sunday evening, you are to be equipped to do what? To put it into practice. You're not here on a holiday. We have a holiday later, okay? But you're here to put into practice the things that you were learning and be about the Father's business. When I first arrived in Romania, I was struggling with the language. And I used to go into town, I'd practice my words, my little phrases, what I wanted to get. And one day, Danny, my son-in-law, came to me and he said, where are you going today? And I said, I'm going into the supermarket and I need to get some things. And he said, don't go to the supermarket. And I said, what do you mean, I go to the supermarket? He says, you go in the supermarket, you get that little trolley and you wheel it up there on the hallways and you pick things off the shelf and you put it in the basket and off you go. No good. I said, what's wrong with you, man? He said, you go to the piazza, the marketplace, so you have to ask for things. Okay? So you go into the marketplace, you ask for things, you're putting into practice, and you're learning new words every day. And my phrase that I had to learn first off was, how do you say this in Romanian? So I'd pick up an apple or an orange or whatever, and I'd say, cum se spune pe românește, okay? How do I say this in Romanian, okay? And I was learning something. So after I learned some phrases and I learned a little bit of some greetings and new things, I started to put it into practice. And this was what God wants us to do. When you're learning at church, put it into practice, okay? It's incredible how many doors the Lord opens for you when you're putting things into practice. I'm going to call this portion the baton change. And as I've mentioned, every Christian is involved in the baton change. The perfecting of the saints is to bring to maturity, okay? To bring you to a completeness so that you can do the work of a ministry. Do we see that in Scripture? Yes, we do. You remember when there was havoc in the church and Paul went there? Paul, then Saul, and he caused a lot of problem, and the men went running from the church, and he went all over the place, and they turned up at a little place you may have heard of. Can you remember the little place you may have heard of? Acts chapter 13. What was the name of that place? Antioch, wasn't it? Yeah. And it says in chapter 11, they went, and when they were running, they preached the gospel. They weren't the evangelists. They weren't the apostles, because apostles stayed back at the church. Is that correct? Who were these men that went preaching the gospel? They were Christians. Okay? Lay preachers. We'll call them lay preachers. But they went and they preached the gospel. Okay? First they went to the Jews and they preached the gospel to the Jews. Some of them decided they'd go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Lord had a great work among them because many were saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I was looking at some relay racing a couple of months ago. I was looking at relay racing. And when you get that relay, when you get that baton, the 4x400 meters, when you get that baton, you're going to pass it on to the next person. That baton has to be passed over to the next person within a specified distance, okay, of 20 meters. Okay? So the person that's passing it has to know what they're doing. The person who's receiving it has to know what they're doing. And they pass it within that 20-meter distance or they're disqualified. And if you drop the baton, we'll come back to this thought in a little while. If you drop the baton, you can retrieve the baton. You must go back to the place where it was dropped. You can retrieve that baton, you can pick it up, and you can start running again. And sometimes in life, we see Christians that drop the baton. I want to challenge you tonight, if you have dropped the baton, if you have been indifferent to the call, if you have been lazy, can I say lazy? Okay. You can pick that baton up again. Okay. So we see in the Great Commission, go out and preach and teach and reach people with the Word of God. Okay. And to train them and make other disciples. Jesus also worked in the hearts of his men. They had problems. Okay. They had many, many problems. They were prejudiced. Have you ever met anybody who's prejudiced? Okay. Have you been prejudiced? Okay. They had preconceived ideas. Remember their attitude against the Samaritans, remember? Jesus says, it says in Scripture in John chapter 4, I must needs go through Samaria. And they went to get some food and he stayed back. He met the woman at the well, you know the rest. And the woman at the well said, well, what are you doing here? Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He had to work on their attitude. He's told many stories. He was working on them from the inside out. Remember he told the story of the 10 lepers that were healed? Or the story is recorded for us in Scripture, rather, that the 10 lepers were healed. Only one came back to say, thank you, God. Okay? The other 9 were healed. They were on their way to the temple to show the high priest that they'd been healed. Nothing had happened like that since the law of Moses was given some 1,500 years or so before. Nothing had happened like that. So we're on their way to show the priest, and the priest would have to realize and come to the conclusion that this is a divine intervention. Okay, so as they're on their way, one Samaritan, he's a Samaritan, it's mentioned in Scripture, he came back and he gave praise unto God, and he received more than physical healing. Okay? We haven't got time to stay there too much tonight. So then we also have the Good Samaritan. I want you to realize that the early disciples of Jesus, the learners, those with their L plates on, they had a corrupt form of Judaism. They thought, we are sons of Abraham, everything's okay, we've got it right. But Jesus said, no. In order for me to make you better servants, we have to change some things. Later on, Peter had to be told again, when he was in Joppa, he had the vision. The sheet came down, okay? Fats of the muscle, okay? I couldn't think of that. The sheet came down, okay? And all the animals were there, and the Lord said to them, rise and kill, rise and eat. And a few chapters later, or later in chapter 11, Peter comes to the conclusion when he goes to Cornelius' house, what God has called, what is cleansed by God is not to be called unclean, and he equates it to man. So here Jesus is working on his disciples, the learners, and we see that he had to change some of their ideas. And sometimes we have ideas, and they're not God's ideas. Sometimes God has to work in our hearts and say, you've got a problem with prejudice. You don't feel comfortable with this group of people. You're not comfortable with speaking to these people from various different countries. You don't feel comfortable with their attitude or their culture or whatever. That's nothing to do with you. You were to go and reach all men. I like it in the book of Revelation. It talks about all the great nations, all the great peoples that are standing before the throne of God. Amen. It doesn't say races. We use this word incorrectly today. We've been sold a bill of goods called racism. There's no such thing. It's not in the Bible. Different people groups, different languages. But Jesus, did he not die for one race? The human race? Okay? And we need to program our minds. We need to think the way God thinks. We need to look on people with compassion and see they are lost. They need Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 10 now. That's just the introduction. Okay. The 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. He sent them forth. He apostelled them. An apostle is someone sent forth with a special message, personally from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't listen to any of these televangelists that call themselves apostles. That's baloney, okay? Don't listen to any of these people. I was driving past a church somewhere here in Australia, and I was going past, and some apostle's going to be preaching on Sunday night. He's pretty old, isn't he? Okay? He had to be sent on. An apostle was someone personally sent out by Jesus Christ with a special message, the good news. Did you notice this morning Nico talked about the church there at Moldova Noah? Good news, Independent Baptist Church, okay? That's what Vestibona means, good news. There's not a greater news than the good news, which is the gospel. You don't get a better good news than that one. And that's why we called our church the good news. So Christ apostelled them. He sent them forth with a special message. And here Jesus mentions, go not into the ways of the Gentiles or to the Samaritans. At this time, he wants them to be focused. He wants them to be focused. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any other city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Where are they to go? But rather, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want to do a flip on that tonight. Go ye to the lost sheep of the house of Australia. We've got many people that are lost today. We've got many people that say, I've got my own religion. We've got many people and say, that's your opinion. That's just something written in an old book. That's your opinion. It's God's opinion. And we are to focus on the people that are lost in Australia. At a later time, he wants his disciples to be focused here. Don't worry, he's got a plan for the future. He's got a man by the name of Paul, you may have heard of him, and he's going to send them to the Gentiles, the other people from the other tribes, from the other nations, from the other people that are lost also. In John chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, "Other sheep I have that are not of this fold. They must come, there must be one shepherd, and there will be one fold." Okay? But here, are you focused? Are you really focused on the people you rub shoulders with every day? Are you focused with your neighbors, your workmates, and this other category that's really hard to reach? They have your family. They're a tough one, aren't they? But God wants us to be focused. He wants us to take this message that will save the world. Okay? I don't know about you, but all you hear around the world is the same song. It's spoken in different languages, but the tune's still the same. You know, we've broken the world and we have to fix it. Okay? You need to drive an electric car. You need to put your little cardboard box in this little particular bin and your little plastic cup in another particular bin, and that'll save the world. No, it won't. What'll save the world is the message that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek for those that are lost. That's the only message that we need for this world. Don't worry about the other things. Oh, it's important to look after the environment. God gives the environment. We're supposed to be caretakers. Adam and Eve are supposed to be caretakers. But let's not get too carried away. Let's be caretakers for men's souls. Because there's people perishing around us each and every day. Yes, the world is broken, but it's got a bigger problem than that. A bigger problem than the environment. A bigger problem than any other things that are happening around today. They are broken spiritually. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, it tells us a parallel passage, the same sending out. And he says, "And he gave them power over unclean spirits." Brother Buddy preached this morning about a man that was possessed of unclean spirits. And I like it in verse 8, it tells us, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." When you receive salvation, it was free. You didn't pay anything. Christ already paid with his precious blood. You have been bought with a price, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20. You've bought with a price. You've received that freely. You have your salvation. You're free. You got your ticket. You're on your way to heaven. Let's freely give out that message. Let's reach out to a people that are sick and perishing, not with physical ailments, but with spiritual ailments. I like this, "And he gave them power over unclean spirits." No tele-evangelists here, is there? Nobody that came along and say, "Oh, if you have faith, you will be healed. And if it didn't work, you didn't have enough faith." It doesn't say that in the scripture here. He says, "And he gave them power. Heal the sick." It didn't say try and heal the sick. It didn't say anything else. He said, "Cleanse the lepers." And I like the word of cleansing lepers. Leprosy is just like sin. It's cleansed. And only God can cleanse it. Like them 10 men that walked off and only one came back, that he was a Samaritan. He was cleansed of leprosy. But he was also cleansed of sin. He came back and he thanked God. No funny evangelists here. Go. "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." Total dependence on God. Many times we try and nut out a problem before we arrive there. We think, look, we've got a plan. It's all going to work out. Next year, it's all going to be right because I've sorted it. Was God in the equation when you were sorting it? Okay? You know what it talks about in the book of James? And it says, we will go to such and such a city, and there we'll have gain, and there we'll do all these things. Is God in the matter? Is God in the matter? I want us to think about these things tonight. Take no provisions. I mentioned about two cots there. One of the cots was used for the evening to wrap yourself up, and so you could sleep that at night, and you'd be able to do that. But Christ said here, no, not even that. Depend upon God to directly provide for you. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes we're so busy. I've talked to people, now if you're in this category, that's not my problem. I've talked to people that are buying their third and fourth house, because they're trying to set it up. They drew some money from super and they did all this and did all that sort of thing. So they'll be set for the future. Guy, wise businessman. What's their plan for the future for their neighbor? What's the plan for the future for someone in their family? What's the plan for those, their work colleague? Have they got a plan for them? Are you going to share the gospel with that person? Many years ago, many years ago, when I was a boy, I was 16, I was working on a building site. I was doing an apprenticeship at plumbing. Now, contrary to popular thought, is bricklayers lay bricks, but plumbers don't lay plums. Okay, so don't get that, okay? I was working on a building site, and the Lord had put it on my heart to share the gospel with people. I was timid. I didn't know what to say. I'd only been saved for about a few months, and I didn't know what to do. So one day, after the Lord, I didn't hear an actual voice. You understand that, okay? I just felt that the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, Billy, get them tracks. You've got some tracks. You've been going out with a man, speaking to people at the door. You've been with this other man. He's speaking. You're praying. You're holding the tracks, and you've been helping this man and learning the ropes, so to speak. Get them tracks and go into work. So I built up enough courage, and a Friday morning I got up, I put my backpack on, I had all my tracks in, I got on my bike, I had to ride about 10 miles to go to work, and I got there and I started handing out tracks to bricklayers, plasterers, carpenters, and people ridiculed me, made fun of me, said all sorts of bad things about me. And I was sitting there at morning tea, having a cup of tea, and this guy came up to me and he said, put a great big builder's laborer came up, he put his hand on my shoulder, outside. And his hands were like shovels, you know. And he said, outside. So I went outside like this, trembling. I didn't know what he was going to do. I thought he was going to hit me or something. I wasn't sure. And I said, what is it? And he had a stutter. And he said, I, and so on, and I read the track, and he started to cry like a baby. And I didn't know what to say. I just said, well, did you think about the things that were on the track and what you need to do to come to know Christ as Savior? Yes. I didn't follow it up. But God moved in his heart. And you know, that was on a Friday morning. I'd been working there for about a year and a half or so on this building site. On Tuesday morning, I moved away from that building site and never saw them men ever again in my life. What did I do? I just gave out some tracks. I was timid. I didn't know what to say. I just thought that there was enough information on the track. They read the track. One of them was physically moved by the track. And I believe the Lord did a work in his heart. So depend on God. I looked at this word in verse 11. And into whatsoever city and town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Like, worthy? Who's worthy? Is anybody worthy? In English, is anybody worthy? But that's not what it means here. Okay? Those who are going to be receptive. Okay? I've been out door knocking, I've spent times in debate with people, and I don't think it was well used my time. you know, you get there and you say you're going nowhere with this guy. You've given them the tract. He's ridiculed the things. He's not interested in the things of God. Yes, you've made you've given them the word of God. You've tried to speak to him. You've tried to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've said, where are you going to spend eternity, etc. You know that. And he's not ready for this. He's not receptive. I want you to turn with me to Acts 13 and 46. We don't have a lot of time. But I'll do a flip with this word, worthy. And it tells us in Acts 13 and verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So look for people who are receptive to the word of God. This is what Christ said. Get out there, preach the gospel, heal the sick, keep the main thing the main thing. The people are lost and they're on their way to hell and they need to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Keep it on the main thing. Look for people who are receptive to the message. Now, last Wednesday, I was working a couple of days a week. It's a terrible place I'm working in. It's like a big wreckers yard, okay, for trucks. Okay. And on Wednesday afternoon, there was an older man came in. He was grabbing some bits of metal and everything like that. And he's about 72. And the man I was working with, he's a Christian. He asked the man, where are you going to spend eternity? And he said, have you ever thought about that? And he said, oh, look, I don't want to. He was a bit reluctant to speak with him. So anyway, this guy made the introduction. And he said, I've got to go now. And left him with me. Okay? So at the beginning, he was a bit reluctant. And I said, have you ever thought about the state of the world today? If you read the Bible, it's like reading today's newspaper. Men are disobedient to parents, lovers of self. We got the iPad, iPhones. It's all about I, isn't it? Okay. Disobedient to parents, lovers of self. Okay. And I said, have you ever thought about these things? And he said, yes, I have. I said, have you seen in the change in the world from when you were a young man to what you are living in now? And he said, absolutely. And I said, could I share a few things from the Bible with you? I didn't have a Bible on me. I just had learned some verses and I started sharing with him. And I challenged him to think about these things. And he said, one thing that's always stuck with me is Jesus Christ is important. He must be important. All the years are named after Jesus Christ, okay? History is split in half because of Jesus Christ. It's either A.D. or B.C., isn't it? He said, that's something that's always stuck with me. And I said, well, you need to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I says, this world in a sorry state of affairs. And Christ says, I can offer you eternal life. And I shared the gospel with him. And he told me he'd take that seriously. He'd never thought about it before. And everything that I said made sense to him. And he was going to go home and do some reading. And I pointed him to the book of John. And I said, well, let's try in chapter 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus. And I shared, you must be born again. Okay. Those that are born once, die twice. Those that are born twice, die once. Have you ever thought about that? So I just shared a few things with him. So here we got the thing of worthy, being receptive. Receptive to the message. Because we know none is worthy. We're not worthy. And it talks about righteousness. And the scripture says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:10. Here means to search out those who will listen, those who will receive the message. Gentle persistence, not force on unwilling ears. Okay. I don't know anybody that has come to Christ because of a big debate and raised voices. I haven't heard of that yet, okay? Use your time with discernment. Initiate discussions. Share your faith. Be bold, not obnoxious. I've heard of some people being obnoxious. That doesn't get in us anywhere. Contend for the faith. Don't be contentious. Okay? Remember, Jesus said, I am the way. I was sharing this with a man the other day. Jesus said, I am the way. You know what that note he's saying? All the other ways are the wrong ways. That Jesus said, I'm the way. You want to get to heaven? You want to have eternal life? You want to know God as your Savior? I am the way. Do you want to have peace in your soul? Jesus said, I'm the way. And if they listen, keep on going. If they're not willing to listen, move on. Share your faith and your foundations for your beliefs. Share why you believe what you believe. We know this first, our 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And verse 14 and 15 always bugs me. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. It's serious business, isn't it? I said this to the man the other day. Imagine being rejected of God. Imagine when you heard the gospel message, the good news, that God wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life, and you reject that. I said it doesn't get any more serious than that. You're in serious trouble with God. Remember when Jesus spoke, he went to Capernaum, and he said, woe unto you, Chorazin, isn't it, Chorazin, chapter 11. Woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty words which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. You know, the Jews had this preconceived idea, we're special. Tyre and Sidon, oh, they deserve to go to hell. You know, they're port cities. These men come in and they're drunk after their long journey. They're with prostitutes and everything. They deserve to go to hell. And Jesus said, no. Woe unto you. Woe unto you, Jews, that go through the motions that you know God and know not God. He flipped it on them, didn't he? He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. I've offered you the way to eternal life. And if you reject that, you're in serious trouble. Our call, your call, not just my call, not just pastor's call, not just Brother Batty's call or Brother James's call. Your call is to be using that baton. Here's the baton. It's not a round tube. Here's the words of life. It doesn't get any better than this. Your call is to be about the master's business. Put it into practice, what you've learned, what you've been taught. Have you dropped the baton? Just say, look, that's not for me. It is for you. You're saved? That's for you. Okay? You might say, like me when I was young, I'm timid, I don't know what to say. You're learning every week. You're being equipped. You know, when you like Danny said to me, put into practice what you've learned. Put it into practice. Get that baton again. If you've dropped that baton, pick it up and run your race. Because you're not only to be involved in your own race, you're to be a trainer to train others in the rest. And can you do that? Not in your own strength, you can't. But you can come and say, Lord, I'm sorry I've dropped the baton. Lord, I'm sorry I didn't fulfill the call that you had upon my life. I'm sorry that I forgot. Sorry I was too busy. Sorry I was too busy doing business in the world and I forgot about the real business that I'm supposed to be doing. Will you be honest with yourself? It's a bit direct, isn't it? But Jesus was pretty direct, wasn't he? Let's pray.